Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into the Morning Roast on Maine Sports Leader 92.9. The Ticket, the Roast, presented by Next Home. They're the market leader. Get looked and get sold with the Next Home experience. We're in the Greenway Equipment Studios, your locally owned John Deere dealer. See the Smith Brothers in Bangor and Ellsworth, because nothing runs like a deer. And Bangor Mall Cinemas, Greater Bangor's favorite hometown theater, has been for over 40 years. Bangor Mall Cinemas features luxury recliners, upgraded food menu, find showtimes, and reserve your seat at yourneighborhoodtheater.com. Brian Sullivan, Greg Hirsch, Marcus Caesar here on this Tuesday. Re-entering the work world after a long holiday weekend. We're back to it today. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. It was it was a long, good, relaxing weekend. Sox taking care of business, which is great.
Winners of five straight.
Incredible. And we're standing on the doorstep of opening day tomorrow. It's a weird Tuesday, man.
Marcus, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I mean, just happy that the Sox were able to get it done at home. A surprising amount of homers over the weekend. I was very, very pleased with that. And I'm sure you guys are pleased with some of the news coming out from last night.
Christian Gonzalez is...
Gonzalez, too.
He's also a rich man. But Christian Gonzalez is one rich individual. He gets... it's 4 years, $135 million. The news coming out... Got to really, just getting the alerts, got to boil the clams of Adam Schefter that Rappaport got it out and it just sat there for two hours, right? No. Then he had to sit there 2.5 hours later.
Yeah.
Schefter comes out. I think that's, my math might be off.
Sure.
But I saw it from Rappaport, 4 years, $135 million, a little bit more than the Devin Witherspoon gets from Seattle, so it's done. Christian Gonzalez is now officially in the mix, and we can expect to be a very happy camper there playing in full on Wednesday night.
Thank God. Thank God. We needed this to be done. And honestly, like, started watching the, you know, recap from the, you know, evening sports shows where it hadn't gotten done yet. And it was just that awful lingering feeling that, imagine if Gonzo doesn't play opening night and they got Devin Witherspoon on the other side. It just would have been gross and such a bad look for this Patriots organization. Now it's done. You could just kind of move on. Let's get to football, man. Let's get to it.
There was a lot of stuff that started to leak out about the Matt Groh. I think a lot of us remember hearing about Matt Groh a few years ago, and then you didn't hear about him for a long time. That's probably why you were so happy for the last couple of years.
Right.
And that he had these a hand in the negotiations and was really the one who was maybe culpable in the Gabe Ackes stuff, why he took so long. And then was also a part of the reason this was taking so long with Gonzalez, and he was essentially a negotiator with no power. So he would sit there and go back and forth and be like, okay, now let me go check with my boss.
right.
See how this goes. So I guess, where do you land on this, Greg? If you were going to sign the richest deal ever, why'd it take so long?
Yeah, it is frustrating, right? It is irritating. And just, I'm very curious. I think a lot of people are too, in terms of what is the cash money for year one. That was kind of like the big thing. We haven't seen that yet. My guess is probably that was the holdup because of the huge, there was a huge jump. If you look at what Witherspoon got over McDuffie, right? Like Stingley, the one before, the highest paid before, $48 million for that guaranteed money that first year. McDuffie jumps to 50. It had progressively gone $2 million, $2 million, $2 million. Well, it goes to Witherspoon. It's $59 million. Gonzalez's agent knew what he was doing, going Seahawks first, right? It was like, they're suckers. They'll pay. Patriots are a pain in the ass, right? And we're going to have to push them. So let's get Seattle's on the board first, and that'll really set it so we can really put the screws to New England. So I think that was probably the big holdup.
So either way, you know, it's if you're going to be a draft and develop team, you almost have to do this, right? This
sure.
is where you land. You have to. If you have Christian Gonzalez, who was the best player on the Patriots in the Super Bowl, whether it's a tough price to pay, whatever, this is who you want to be, you've got to sign this guy.
Yeah, you got to, because you've missed on so many guys too, right? Like, this is the first round pick the Patriots have re-signed since Dante Hightower in 2012. I mean, it's been that long. It's been 14 years since they re-signed a first round draft pick, right? Like, they're not used to this world. So you hit on a guy, it's like, no, you keep him. You know, they're just like, oh yeah, we let him go. No, you don't let this guy go.
Please, for the love of God, don't let him go.
You know, and but We're living in a new world, man. We're living maybe in a new Patriots world here a little bit. I mean, they paid Milton Williams. They went out and they paid big money for A.J. Brown. They signed Christian Gonzalez. They're going to extend Drake May next year. Like, this is a different world we're living in for New England. And it looked... thank God, because it looked like we might have been living in the old world for a little while there until this morning. So I feel good about it now.
I think we still live in the old world because you could easily just have gotten this done, I think, and acquiesced to all the desires of Camp Gonzalez. But they definitely squabbled over this. And you're right. There's going to be a certain amount of there'll be some funny money.
Yeah, some bonus money.
Christian Gonzalez is going to get paid X amount for being on the field.
Yes.
Right? There definitely will be some of that, and there'll probably
be
some.
Where there should be, too.
Right.
With him. Yeah.
He hasn't played an entire season.
Right.
He's missed games in every year that he's been a part of. So we'll see what it is, but at the moment, he's a happy camper, and the Patriots have him in the fold as, like you said, they get ready for the Seahawks tomorrow night. Okay, the roast is brought to you in part by Uno Pizzeria and Grill. They have late-night deals every night in the bar or lounge, 9 p.m. to close. $6 apps, $5 cheeseburgers, $5 indie cheese or pepperoni deep dish, 725 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Marcus, do some headlines and highlights. All right, let's go back to the Red Sox, who are now winners of five straight games. They are nipping at the heels of the Yankees for that top spot in the wild card. After the game yesterday, here is Adley Rutschman, who smoked a home run. Adley Rutschman's never hit a ball harder in his professional life than he did yesterday.
Yeah, I guess that hyperextension must be okay.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good sign.
I had a worry that the Patriots or the Sox might have been getting some damaged goods in Rutschman.
Yep.
But last week or so, he started to, you can see it.
Sure, yeah, you definitely.
Started to swing the bat.
Yep.
And again, you know, you're doing this, you don't have Contreras. Gasper comes in his stead. You don't have Rafaela.
Yep.
Eli White plays a little bit. And these
best
guys,
hitter in September.
And these guys just step up. And like to a point, you have maybe not the best 25-man roster, 26-man roster, but if you were allowed to go with 33 guys and everybody had to play a little bit.
Yeah, I like the 33.
Nobody's beating the Red Sox.
Right. Exactly. They're the opposite of the Patriots, just loaded with depth.
They just, everybody who gets an opportunity finds a moment to come through. And it was White. It was Rutschman there yesterday. And they have won five straight. And they are a couple games back of the Yankees. Of course, the Yankees have the tiebreaker. So add one to that. But it's still... You're seven games up on the next closest wild card.
Yeah, what a difference a week makes, too, because you feel really, really good about what you're seeing off the mound with the pitching, too. I mean, Suarez has a really good bounce-back game. Sonny Gray continues to do what he does. And then Tolley throws like an absolute masterpiece the other day, too. Just incredible. Dialed in. Gives the fans a push-up on top of everything else. And then Bayo gets his first one as a starter since April.
Everything's coming up Boston Red Sox this weekend. All right, we'll take a quick commercial break. Speaking of things coming up Boston Red Sox, we'll hop back in the time machine as we'll continue with this year, trying to find out when we peaked. It's going to be a doozy. It's 2004 after the break. This is going to be a finalist, I think, at the very end. UMaine Athletics, the home opener for football this Saturday. Season tickets on sale now. Give you the best value, best seats for every home game. Visit goblackbears.com/tickets. All right, back with more right after this. Welcome back to the Morning Roast, your local family-owned McDonald's on Main Street and Union Street in Bangor, Wilson Street in Brewer. For September, use the app to plus up a great breakfast. Get a hash brown for only $1, a breakfast snack for only $1 in the Mickey D's app. All right, it's 2004 time. Let's get back in the time machine. We got a lot to get through, so let's run through it. The year that was 2004, that a year New England couldn't lose. Patriots, 14-2, Super Bowl champions. Run through the playoffs 20-3 over the Colts, 41-27 over the Steelers in the AFC game. And then it's the Eagles, crazy game, 24-21. Donovan McNabb can't keep his lunch down. In the end, Pats score 437 points. They give up 260. They were awesome that year.
Unbelievable. I would argue best Patriots team.
Yeah, considering that 07 doesn't get it done.
Right.
Corey Dillon comes in, monster first year. Whoa, you can have guys like this?
Right.
Fantastic year. Oh, by the way, the Boston Red Sox, they did it. After falling behind the Yankees in the ALCS, they beat the Yankees 6-4-12 in game 4, 5-4-14 in game 5, 4-2 in game six and 10-3 in game seven.
Yeah, just, you know, there's certain moments, right, in your lifetime. That was like the miracle moment for us around here. It was, yeah, like I put that up in my lifetime as, you know, the 1980 USA-Russia game. Like that was that level. Just incredible. They'll never be anything like it.
I think there's also like a collective. We can talk. We've got to run through all this stuff. But a deep baseball playoff run, when you get to that level, you're all collectively in it. And like it's like your community, a whole state. Hey, did you make it?
Yeah.
Did you go through? You tired? Oh, I'm tired.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm tired.
There was no going to bed.
Yes.
Like, you were in, dude.
It's like, I made it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you swept the Cardinals in what was fantastic, no doubt about it, game four sweep. So you have reversed the curse there in those four nights in October. They made a documentary about it. So, yeah, Curt Schilling's bloody sock, you name it. Okay, Celtics, not so good. 36 and 46.
Yep.
Bruins go 41-19, 15-7. They go second in the Eastern Conference. Joe Thornton was the star. Montreal beats Montreal knocks him out.
Yep. They a solid team. You kind of forget about this team a little bit, but it probably because they kind of went in the tank from here for a few years.
Yep.
But decent run though.
Maine Hockey is your national runner up.
They go
33-8-3. Jimmy Howard is your goalie in the national championship game. Denver beats him 1-0.
Yeah, just unbelievable Maine hockey team. Howard was just a beast, and you forget. Oddly enough, you kind of forget about this one a little bit.
Right.
And it's almost like, you know, they still had a lot of runs left in them, but they don't get back to the big dance again. And almost you look back in retrospect and think, as a fan base, we're really a little cocky. We got a little too big for our britches here. We just thought this was going to happen all the time.
Well, when I think of close, like you're right. This one becomes an afterthought. I think of the first year with Whitehead, where they were 50 seconds away from it,
right,
and couldn't. And then the tire comes up, and then they go to overtime. This one is 1-0, and you're like, oh yeah. Yeah, the goalies were great, but you just couldn't score in the championship game.
Yeah, just couldn't finish. And heartbreaking loss, but obviously incredible season. You're national runners up.
Maine women's basketball goes 25-7, 17-1 in the America East. They reached the NCAA tournament as a 13 seed, losing to fourth seeded Texas Tech 60-50. So again, the prominence of that program
continues
to show through. The men go 20-10, 12-6 in America East, good for fourth place. Not a national level season, but a pretty darn good one.
Yep.
Million Dollar Baby is your best picture. It beats Aviator, Finding Neverland, Ray, and Sideways. We're super soft in
overall. Very on soft. The movies. Very soft.
Wow, some soft movies. Some of the stuff that comes out, your number one movie of the year is Shrek 2, Spider-Man 2, Passion of the Christ, another Harry Potter. Let's see. It's all pretty bad movies, really.
Yeah.
Like, Troy comes out. iRobot. I'll stick with iRobot. Give me a Will Smith with a metal arm.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You guys going to sit here and disrespect Shrek 2 and Spider-Man 2?
Those are good, right. But I would never go back and watch either one, honestly. Spider-Man 2 is good. I will.
Yeah.
Like, Spider-Man 2 is good. Mm-hmm. The part when he's got to like hold together the subway car with his
little
string. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got a couple decent... Anchorman,
and first time you saw Anchorman, and first time I saw Dodgeball.
Yeah, Dodgeball.
I thought this might be the funniest movie I've ever
seen. Yeah, oh yeah, awesome. Comedies were rolling.
Yeah, at the end when Ben Stiller goes back to being fat, talking about Chuck Norris. Great sign off. TV, CSI is your number one show, followed by American Idol, Desperate Housewives, CSI Miami. We're very much in that realm of a reality TV and your shows and their spinoffs.
I gotta say, there was afternoon baseball. I forget what day it was this week. I think it was a couple days ago, and there was no sports were done. And I flipped on CSI Miami, and I had not seen. It's been, I don't know, 7-8 years since I tuned into a CSI Miami, and I just binged it. I just kept. I can't get enough of that. That is one of the all-time great mindless shows.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Especially with
Horatio is just too damn good.
I guess that's the way the cookie crumbles. Turn the camera. Way!
It's just the confidence in that redhead throughout that show is just incredible. Unmatched.
Also, Friends ends its 10-season run. I was in college. It's May. We're all saying, hey, we're going out. I go, I'll meet you guys out. Like, I've been watching this show for 10 years.
You're right.
Like,
exactly.
I'm going to see how it feeders out. Like,
I'm in.
It's 8:30.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're like, you loser. I'm like, no, listen. 94 to 04. Yeah. I've been watching this thing.
Sure.
You can, it's, you know, is it Sopranos? No. But I come this far, I'm finishing it out.
100%. You got to watch it. I kind of tuned out of Friends like the last however many years of it, but I watched that one.
It was just like, you know.
Yeah.
They tried to make it Joey's thing.
Yeah.
And then Joey got his own show. Anyways, so Friends certainly has a spot. Lost Begins, Office Begins as well. Let's see the Grammys. Let's see. Genius Loves Company. Ray Charles and various artists are the Grammys. The album of the year, of course, Ray comes out. Top selling albums, Usher's Confessions, Norah Jones, Feels Like Home, Eminem Encore, When the Sun Goes Down by Kenny Chesney, and Gretchen Wilson, Here for the Party. Let's see. Other cultural stuff that still matters. Facebook is born.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gmail launches.
Seems early for Gmail. I didn't notice that one.
Google goes public. Yeah, so right. It's, you know, along with it. Firefox arrives. World of Warcraft launches. The iPod is becoming a natural or cultural phenomenon, not natural. reality television becomes mainstream entertainment. Let's see. Donald Trump's You're Fired became part of the national vocabulary. The Apprentice. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People didn't have such a visceral reaction back then to it, but I mean, they enjoyed it.
He rides The Apprentice to where he's at, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. If he doesn't do that, this doesn't happen.
The beginning of the social media era. George W. Bush defeats John Kerry in the presidential election. Let's see. The Iraq War is still going on. There's a bunch of stuff. The Janet Jackson Super Bowl controversy. Oh, so this was this year. Justin Timberlake, right. Halftime show. Let's see. So, yeah, CDs are out there. We're downloading our music. AOL Instant Messenger. So, yeah, did I miss anything?
No, man. We're downloading. I think we're are we downloading, like, movies, too? Like,
I'm doing it, but not legally.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, we're talking, like, LimeWire.
Yeah, my computer's like, please.
Yeah, right. This may blow it up, but I'm getting...
You don't need to watch the bootleg second Lord of the Rings movie.
Right.
In four pieces.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. Calm down.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go. I will score it and return to it. Like, I'm just going to say the sports is epic. The other stuff is... It's okay. Also, I'm watching it.
Yeah, we'll see. It's okay.
All right, scores and back to present day right after this. Also want to tell you about Tuggy Co. Sports, Bangor's premier destination for sports cars and memorabilia. Tuggy Co. Sports, 691 Hogan Road in Bangor. Visit TuggyCoSports.com or go see him in person at 691 Hogan Road in Bangor. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to the Morning Roast Show, brought to you in part by Hero Sports Grill and Entertainment Center. Hero is the official sports grill of the roast and the place to be in downtown Bangor at HeroSportsGrill.com. Just about time to go return and get some Jimmy-style wings.
Ooh. So
Sunday football is back upon us starting this Sunday. All right. What do you give the year that was 2004 for sports there, Greg?
Dude, I'm going almost top of the mountain. I'm going 9-8.
Yeah,
I have to on the back of arguably the best, especially definitely the best defensive Patriots team I've ever seen. And then the Red Sox 04 is pretty untouchable.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I'll go 9-9 because I don't know how it gets better than this. Right.
Right. Is there a 10? If the I don't know if there is a 10.
We haven't gotten there yet, so I'll give it a 9-9. For the other stuff, where do you come in for that score?
Maybe the sports are influencing it a little bit. Maybe. I do like CSI Miami, but there's a lot of soft stuff. I'm going to go like a 7-6 on that.
Yeah, we were talking in the break. This is the beginning of just my fear that we're just all... cheap and big corporations are like, here, if you like Shrek, here's Shrek 2. If you like CSI, you're going to love it in Miami. If you enjoyed Spider-Man, wait till he fights three guys. Right. Next time out, he's going to fight four. One of them's made of sand. What? It's going to be wacky, dude. So, yeah, we're not getting a lot of original stuff. But at the same time, we're liking it, and there is some enough. So I'll go there with you. I'll give it 7-2.
Yeah.
Right there. So there you go. Those are our scores. And I wonder, when all is said and done, if the other stuff is going to hold 04 back. We'll see.
Maybe.
What the scores are as we return to present day. One day from today, the Patriots will return to action. We are very excited, especially to have Christian Gonzalez under contract. Josh McDaniels talked a little bit about Drake May and the advancements he has made. So I think all hopes of the season pretty much are pinned on Drake May.
Definitely.
Yeah, right?
Definitely. Drake May goes down, it's over.
Sure. So, yeah. And we expect we've got a guy who is going to be pretty solid. And then it really comes down to the other guys. And so there was a fun thing. Caleb Lomu and Will Campbell. Well, the new kid on the block now has to be the Weekend Update anchor. Here's what they had to say about it.
Will Campbell moving up the ladder a little bit, you know, not the rookie anymore. So it's little things like that. But back to Drake May, Drake, he's not going to have statistically a better season than he had last year, most likely, right? Like, so in a lot of different ways. But what are you hoping to see out of Drake May? What do you want to see out of Drake May tomorrow night? It's coming tomorrow night. What are your expectations? What are you hoping to see out of him?
I think that my expectation is that he keeps you in a game more so than he did in the Super Bowl, because you're going to see that same Seahawks team. And from the sounds of it, just on the reports you're getting from camp, the Patriots defense might not be up to snuff. Maybe they're going to have a little trouble stopping the run without Tonga there. They're going to have some it's going to be hard for them to get pass rush organically. They're going to have to manufacture it through the blitz,
yep.
Which means you're going to have to bring another guy out of the defensive backfield, a linebacker stunt, what have you. So you're going to need to get there and
with numbers,
and we'll see how that goes. But if you truly have a guy who's top five in the league, he should be able to keep you in a game. And I would suppose, let us go shot for shot in a bit of a shootout, right? Like, if push comes to shove, you should be able to make it happen with an offense which has only been bolstered from what you had last year. You can say whatever Stephon Diggs was. I would say it's about even with what they have in the form of Romeo Doubs, right?
Right.
Pretty much. Maybe
Diggs
a little different.
Yeah, I would say so. And I would say what you would expect out of Steph Diggs year two.
And then A.J. Brown just makes a whole extra level that we just did not have.
Yep.
You have a center playing center. You have a high-priced left guard to come in between two young guys. You have Will Campbell, who is really the big question mark, but reports, and I don't know if it's just pie in the sky, but I've heard a couple people say, I think Will Campbell's going to solidify as a starter for you this year.
Yep.
And that really, can you protect Drake May? Because if you can protect Drake May, then I think he's really good.
He's really dangerous. Right, exactly. He's got to, and I've heard other people say the same thing, but, you know, the interceptions will happen. I mean, because he's a gunslinger. So, they'll happen here and there. You hope they're not, untimely ones. But the big thing is you can't fumble the football. You can't. You got to eat that. I want to see less of the fumbling. Like, that just kills you. So he's got to be able to hang on to that ball and or get rid of it, live to fight another day, which made Brady so good.
So, I mean, if you're going to have a guy who is going to be worthy of this whatever contract, he is. There shall be no year where you go 6-11 from here on out.
Right.
If he's healthy and out there, you're in it.
Yep.
And whatever Josh Allen can do, I expect Drake May to do that.
Yeah, I expect him to go on that same trajectory.
Yeah, where a guy who moves around with his legs, maybe doesn't quite do it physically in the run game, but I think could. We just don't really want him to.
Sure.
But I think that you're in that realm where you're a quarterback, you've got weapons around you, and if you are as good as we've been told and we've seen, then you should win football games and at least never really be out of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. We've moved on from the you know, several awful years, and it's now, okay, now we're competitive. Now we're in everything.
So, all right, we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll recap some of the stuff that we missed over the course of the last few days here right after this. A lot of little quick hitters coming your way as we return. Also, if you want to catch up on anything, the 2026 fall season is underway on Ticket TV. You've got tonight, Brewer at Hamden Soccer. This evening, you've got Hamden at Brewer Soccer. So a couple of games to watch back-to-back there, girls, then boys. Thursday, you've got Foxcroft at Herman Soccer. And then Friday night, Winslow at John Babst Football. All right, back with more right after this. Welcome back to the Morning Roast. Connect to the Ticket social media channels on 929 The Ticket on Facebook, 929 The Ticket on Instagram, sports.net.main on TikTok, and our YouTube page, Sportsnet Main. Okay, just a bunch of stuff since last we met. I got a chance to watch Stearns versus Dexter on Friday Night Football. So just great to see high school football back in action,
sure.
Right? You know, we opened up the season here with two games on Thursday and Friday. Marcus was there helping with them both. Maine football, tough weekend for them against Appalachian State. But I'll start with the Stearns football team, eight-man football. They look awesome. They look like they're
fast.
Strong, deep, as deep as an eight-man team is going to be. So they seem poised to make another run in the LTC as they looked pretty good. And also, really great for Dexter to have the support they had that day. Score didn't go their way, but they'd taken part in that T-Mobile
got
contest.
The lights.
They got $75,000 towards it, and then they had community members pitch in to get to the $250,000, I think was the number that they got to. And so they're getting beat up, and then they hang in it, and then the twos got a garbage touchdown with 10 seconds left to erase the shutout.
Yeah.
The place went nuts.
Yeah,
it was good.
It was
awesome to see that. And then it's phase one of a three-phase program for the facilities up there in Dexter. So good to see that all come together for them. So it's nice to be there. And really, I was saying to you guys before we came on the air, this is the begin. This is it, right? Like yesterday, a lot of us had off.
Yep.
And now you're back to it. And now, essentially for me, it's a grind till Thanksgiving, right? And this time of the year goes fast. But I just like to see, just nice when you turn on SportsCenter on Saturday morning and it's like, look at all that football.
Oh, my God. It's so nice.
Sunday morning.
Nice. I turn it on and it's like, what's the first sports I care about? Look at this.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Awesome.
So
awesome. Right. Feels good.
Stuck out to you over the course of the weekend there, Greg?
Yeah, I was dialed into this Red Sox run because, they're doing it in such in my opinion, the correct way. I mean, you got to put guys on IL. You gave guys breaks. Durbin had a break in one of the games. Abreu in another. It's the exact guys that definitely need these breaks, and I hope they continue to do it. Manufacture the wins any way you can. I don't care if you win 6-5 on Thursday, 1-0 on Friday. It doesn't matter what the score is. It's just ugly. You don't get any points for style at this point. It's like, let's just keep our head above water, stay where we are, and let's get to the playoffs with as many people healthy as possible. And it looks like Chad Tracy is doing a pretty damn good job managing this thing.
Yeah, it's the exact thing that we wanted was to, hey, if somebody needs a 10-day vacation to the IL, we'll let them go.
Yeah, sit on Rafaela.
Yeah.
Take your break.
Sure.
Yeah.
Contreras, if you need to get healthy and rest that hamstring, well, then go ahead and go. And through that, guys have had the opportunity to step up. And they've taking advantage. I mean, there's probably a spot at one point when you're doing roster math, it's like, where does Eli White land on this team? Or even the guy who they did let go, the catcher who came in part of the trade with Rutschman, right?
Right, right.
Jake Rogers.
Yeah.
Here for like a week. And then at a certain point, you're like, geez, do we need him?
Right.
Is Rutschman going to be okay?
Right.
And now he's starting to get healthy. And so, you're right. It's just, if your goal was to get right for the playoffs, you have done that, but you've also won
along the way.
On top of that, and that's the story of this year's team, right, is the credit to all those guys, whether it's, you know, the Sieglers, as much as Monasterio drives you nuts at shortstop, he had, you know, a month or so where he came through. A guy like Jamai Jones pinch hitting and coming through at times. And then you got the Mickey Gaspers, the Sogards, the guys that are fighting to say, hey, you know, we get to the playoffs. Is there a spot for Mickey Gasper in this lineup as a DH with certain, you know, with certain rosters you put out there? They're making the case for it. So this is what this team is. They've got these depth pieces that you don't expect to be having the season they're having. It's just been incredible.
So the Yankees are going to get Aaron Judge back today. He's being activated, right, Marcus? He's being activated to take on the Rockies. You've got the Yankees have 25 games left. You've got 23. Against their opponents so far this year, the Yankees are 13-12 against the teams they've played. You are 16-7 against the teams that you have played down the stretch here, and you're two games back of the Yankees. They own the tiebreaker over you. So it just adds a little bit of intrigue, but for all the things we said, you let Rafael go to the IL because his wrist's a little banged up. Okay, Contreras, if you're due to come back and maybe you don't think you're ready, you've given yourself that cushion, right, where the Yankees is almost just, let's just keep playing baseball the way we have been,
right,
and we'll see how this takes take care of itself. But, I mean, you give Sonny Gray, you skip him a start, and he comes back out and looks fantastic.
Jake Bennett, same thing. Did the same thing. Now, Peyton Tolley's kind of due for one of those, right? Like, I know how strong he's been. He's built a little differently. I wouldn't be against skipping him a start either, though. You know, I mean, just like let's not wait for issues to happen. Let's give him the needed break that he's going to need too. And just that whole thing with him, do every game, whether it's the hug or he slips, he does the push up. But he's beyond all that. He's aces.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this guy is. Like, it is cool watching a guy like this in his rookie year and thinking, we're going to be a Peyton Tolley family for quite a long time. Like, he's with us to stay for a while.
And now you get to a spot where, hey, Patrick Sandoval, your turn, fella.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You're up, you know, and he had a good one last time he pitched, right? So it's like, all right, let's give as many guys a break as you possibly can. I don't want to see that other guy come and pitch again, though.
Baez.
I'm all set on the Baez experiment.
I think he's good with it, too.
Yeah. I don't think he wants any part of it.
I'll stay in AAA.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks. I got some things to work on. Yeah. Thanks, fellows.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would think as well there's a bit of competition among the pitching staff. If you're Sandoval and you look at this 5-game win streak and you go back and every guy ahead of you has pitched really well or the last time out, you know, you talk about Suarez,
right,
Bennett, you know, Sonny Gray and Tolley, and it's okay, Sandoval, your turn, just keep it going, dude.
Yeah, right, exactly. Manage the game. That's all you got to do.
So we'll see what happens tonight. 5:45 pregame, 6:45 first pitch. Red Sox ticket summer sweepstakes has come to an end, but we want to thank Dunnett's Appliance and Service in Bangor. Congratulations to our winners, Derek from Bangor, Craig from Hamden, and John from Orrington. He is attending the game tomorrow night. John from Orrington is. So, all right, this day in history coming your way next.
Welcome back into the Morning Roast. This is Goodies by Sierra with Petey Pablo.
It's a good song.
Honestly,
it's a pretty good video. I've been watching the video. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, this looks pretty good.
Yeah, Petey Pob. I haven't heard of him in a little bit. Let's see. 1504, Michelangelo's Statue of David is unveiled in Florence. Let's see. 1565, first permanent European settlement in the U.S. is founded in St. Augustine, Florida.
All right. Didn't know that.
Still headed that way. Let's see. 66, Star Trek premieres on NBC starring William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. With the episode The Man Trap. Never been a big Star Trek enthusiast.
Yeah, no. It was always on, you know, in syndication growing up. And got into Star Wars, so I kind of got into there's some episodes, that old one, but it's not. I saw the first movie that came out, the Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 78, 79, around there. so incredibly boring.
Okay.
Like, I was just like, no. And then Wrath of Khan is very good. Like, that's a different movie. That's a good one. But that was about it for me.
1894, employed by Thomas Edison, William K.L. Dixon films the first boxing match in West Orange, New Jersey, an exhibition between heavyweight champion James J. Corbett and Peter Courtney. So we get our first tale of the tape on that day.
Nice.
1894. 1954, with a 3-2 count, Philadelphia Phillies batter Richie Ashburn fouls off the next 14 pitches. Then he walks.
That's a big day.
Great at bat.
Yeah. I know. We're still talking about it.
65, Kansas City A's Bert Campanaris plays all 9 positions in a single game. That must have been just a goal. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Throw me the catcher stuff.
Birthdays today. Martin Freeman. He was the guy. He's the Hobbit. He was also Sherlock. He's born in 71. Also, you guys seen Love Actually?
Yes.
The Christmas movie?
No.
Well, that's a good Christmas movie.
Yep.
His part of Love Actually, where he's the stand-in for the adult film.
Yep.
You could cut that out.
Yeah, right, right.
And then it's not an R-rated movie.
Exactly.
It's like, if you cut that
100%,
out, it's like,
yeah,
you're just sort of here, and it's like, okay, it's
PG.
Fine.
Yeah.
You just, like, don't need that.
Right.
And I'm not actively saying it, but
right.
As I'm watching, I'm like, this is a great Christmas movie, and then, you know, sitting there with your kids, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot this is a
forward.
Part of it, right. Let's see, 79, Pink was born, 87, Wiz Khalifa, 89, Avicii, passed away in 2018, and 2002, Gaten Matarazzo. He's one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Holidays today. It is Literacy Day.
Yeah. Always good. Always good. Improve your literacy.
Ants on a Log Day.
No interest.
No, really?
No. No. Is that celery with peanut butter and chocolate chip or something?
Or raisins, I think.
You wish it was chocolate chip.
Yeah. It's even worse. Yeah. Raisins. Yeah, I do wish it was chocolate chip. That would be better.
It is Actors Day. You ever acted?
Yeah, I was in a commercial.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Get out of the water. He was a star of ABI, a whole summer promo.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He was just awesome. Everything. Yeah. He was good. He played the Roy Scheider part.
I got to look that up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Find the ABI
what about you, Marcus?
Website.
Any acting in your background?
I mean, no, not really. I mean, like, I like playing Dungeons and Dragons, but that's about that's the closest I get. That's like 3 dudes at a table, you know?
I've played the Macaulay Culkin part in 2 consecutive Christmas promos. So
yes, that's right.
Yeah, hang out long enough, I'll get you in a WBI commercial.
Yes.
Let's see, Physical Therapy Day as well. So make sure you don't skip it. 7 a.m. hour coming your way next. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome into the 7 a.m. hour of the Morning Roast on Main Sports Leader 92.9 The Ticket. We're in the Greenway Equipment Studios, your locally owned John Deere dealer. See the Smith Brothers in Bangor and Ellsworth, because nothing runs like a deer. Fat Panda Boba Tea and Market on Harlow Street in Bangor, next to Gosselin's Bakery. Sip fresh boba, explore snacks, ramen, and their tasty Jamaican patties. And Next Home, the market leader. Get looked and get sold with the Next Home experience. Brian Sullivan, Greg Hirsch, Marcus Caesar here on this Tuesday morning, getting back to it after the holiday weekend. Greg, how are you?
I'm refreshed, ready to go, man. It is all starting, and it had started this weekend. College football is back. Full force, Red Sox rolling, Patriots tomorrow, Gonzo is signed. I mean, we got a full plate.
Marcus, how are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to this upcoming week of NFL football. I just solidified my plans for tomorrow night, getting some buddies together. We're going to sit down, watch Seahawks, Patriots. It's going to be awesome.
Better get a little napping.
Oh, who are you talking to?
Right. Big Ben's going to hibernate. Yeah, that's good. All right, where do you want to start, Greg, with all the stuff? Should we start with Christian Gonzalez, the news?
Yeah, probably should.
You probably woke up to it. Maybe you're just hearing it. Christian Gonzalez gets the richest contract, Patriots history, cornerback history in the NFL. 4 years, $135 million. He is a guy who was drafted, developed here in New England, and now is staying around.
Yeah. I mean, thank God they got this thing done. It did not appear to be that way going to bed last night. All talk was they're not close. They haven't spoken. They haven't sat down at the table since August. I mean, that was the narrative going into this thing, and you wake up and the deal's done. Awesome. And now we get down to business. They did the right thing. They paid him. Full details, not completely out yet, but at the end of the day, the guaranteed money's there. We're in a new era now.
I think that we've been conditioned to, worry about the cash and what have you and the salary cap, and then you look at what like the St. Louis Rams do.
Right.
And I think you realize that you can kind of do whatever you want.
Yeah, Felger has said it for years. Cap is crap.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, and it is.
You can move stuff around, you know, make things sign in bonuses. So, yeah, we'll see. And then we expected this was probably around this time next year, maybe a few days earlier. I would assume a few days earlier.
Yeah.
That we'll hear the same thing for Drake May.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it just takes everything off the table in terms of going into this season, going into game one tomorrow night with either without Christian Gonzalez or with Christian Gonzalez, it's going to give you maybe 80%. Now you got him locked and loaded. And with the holes on this defense, you need Christian Gonzalez in a big way.
Not knowing the exact specifics of it all, why do you think it took this long to get to this point, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about it in the first hour there. You know, when you look at the guaranteed first-year money for all the cornerbacks, you know, it would go up by $2 million, $2 million. Well, Witherspoon jumped by $9 million. I mean, that was a big jump. We're talking same agent. That had to give a little pause because, yeah, we want to make you the highest paid Patriot, the highest paid corner. But, you know, at some point, there's too big of an ask, right? And so I think, you know, it set things back a little bit. I don't think the Patriots were planning on that big of a jump. So I think that was the part where they had to really kind of work it out.
And it's the same agent negotiating for the guy from the Seahawks. So it's like, hey, this guy just got that.
Right.
And I think that from the player point of view, you can look at stuff that's coming and know that they're only going to have the cap's going to keep going up and the numbers are only going to get bigger. And so in the end, it's done and he will be in the fold tomorrow night against the Seahawks. All right, Marcus, let's do some headlines and highlights because, you know, we were ready to bash the Pats today, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, why is this done? Yeah, exactly. You're stretching me out. We got game one, the best corner. Yeah,
is he going to be out there? So
thank God.
Done. It is done and he is in the mix for the game tomorrow night. Hey, also your local family-owned McDonald's on Main Street and Union Street in Bangor, Wilson Street in Brewer. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in September, try McDelivery using the Mickey D app. Get $5 off any order of $20 or more when placing your first McDelivery order through the Mickey D app. Also, if you want a greener, healthier lawn without harsh chemicals, Natural Lawn of America can help. Organic-based care, Tick Ranger Protection, 721-0600 or naturallawn.com/Bangor-ME. Naturally healthier lawns. Let's do it, Marcus. All right. So is this number six? Is this up to date? This from Acho?
Oh, yeah. Like okay. Fresh.
So there you go. We have one reaction. This is, is it Sam Acho talking about
Emmanuel Acho
talking about the fact that Gonzalez is under contract?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, we're trying to make this team better. You know, you can't have hiccups.
So they get it done. Okay, so that's exciting. Also, the Red Sox continue to get it done. They are winners of five straight games. Yesterday, 5-2. Brian Bello looked good. Five innings pitched. Struck out seven. Another great starting pitcher outing. Adley Rutschman also coming up big. Hit a ball 112 miles per hour. The hardest ball he's ever hit as a professional.
Crushed it.
Almost took down Pesky Pollock, you heard in that final call there. Here's what he had to say afterward. It's nice to see him healthy. It looks really, having him get whatever it was figured out. He is an offensive catcher who I think can really help this team, and I would expect to see him here down the stretch or for a couple years to come, but having him healthy down the stretch is going to be ultra important.
No, without a doubt. You know, you put a lot into acquiring him, and it was nice when they were playing Baltimore. I was sitting there watching, and Nevaez is batting ninth for Baltimore with a sub-200 average, and it's just never going to happen for him at the plate. So massive upgrade there and great timing.
And we talked about this last hour, but you've been able to give guys some time off. You've sent a couple of key guys to the IL and not skipped a beat. In fact, have played really well over the last week. You've won five straight games. No Contreras, no Rafaela. Eli White steps up. Mickey Gasper continues to hit. It's almost to a person. You mentioned Jamai Jones.
Right.
Like every guy who gets a chance seems to just make the case like, I want to be on the 26-man roster for the postseason. Think about me. Consider me.
You're right. Exactly. I can help. You know, whatever small role that can be. And it just seems like the vibes are great right down there right now. And yeah, it just guys getting a break are huge. and they're still racking up wins. I mean, 5-game win streak. Let's go. Yeah, keep this thing going, man. And the pitching hasn't wavered.
We'll see if Patrick Sandoval can keep it going tonight when the Sox take on the Angels. 5:45 pregame, 6:45 first pitch. You can listen right here on 92.9 The Ticket. Okay, we have a bunch of stuff to get you to this morning. We're going to talk with Sheriff Troy Morton. Penobscot County Sheriff Troy Morton is going to join us after the break. That is the plan, unless he has been, you never know what's going on. But the plan is that he's going to talk with us about a night of unity. It is Brewer versus Hamden football to mark 25 years since 9/11. It's going to be at Doyle Field this Friday night. So there's a bunch of stuff going on beforehand, around the game, free tickets available. It is going to be great. So we're going to talk with Sheriff Troy Morton, who is at the center of this big occasion coming up in Brewer on Friday night. So back with more after that. But first, Acadia Federal Credit Union's newest location is now open on Wilson Street in Brewer, serving Maine since 1963, with branches in Bangor, Brewer, and Arista County. Learn more at acadiafcu.org. And Casella, good pay, good people, good life. Find your place at powerofhardwork.com. All right, back with Sheriff Troy Morton right after this. Don't go away. Stuck on the side of the road? Union Street Towing has you covered 24/7 statewide, from breakdowns to lockouts, to get you moving fast. 942-4200, driven to be there when you need the most. And Dean's Detailing, the leader in auto detailing for over 55 years. Renew your vehicle's appearance, protect your auto investment, look good and feel good in a clean, shiny car. Book your appointment at deansdetailing.com. All right, so having some trouble tracking down the sheriff. He might be otherwise engaged, so we won't. We can perhaps preview that great event later in the week, but it will be Hamden and Brewer coming up at Doyle Field Friday night, marking 25 years since 9/11. 25 years, crazy.
It is wild, actually, like when you think about it.
Yeah, and then all the stuff that I interviewed, we got a bunch of stuff at the station. I interviewed Angus King about it. He was the governor then. We interviewed Susan Collins about it, you know, just the different all angles of it.
Perspectives and everything.
And but that's we'll stick with sports for the here and now. You were pretty – how'd you feel about the final play in Michigan this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else, when you first saw it, you thought, well, that's BS, right? Like, ridiculous. How can you do that?
If anybody missed it, what happened?
Yeah, so Michigan losing to Western Michigan, Hail Mary to end it with – appears to be – you know, no time remaining on the clock, end zone, ball's batted down by Western Michigan. Western Michigan celebrates, huge upset, and they say, oh, no. There was 1 second left on the clock. And it did not appear to be that way, but once they broke it down and they went slow-mo with the clock, the rule is the Western Michigan player stepped out of bounds in the end zone, leapt up, touch the ball. When he touched the ball, there was 1 second left before the ball came down. So redo the play. Of course, Michigan scores, and they win. Western Michigan's heartbroken.
If it's the other way around, do you think that Western Michigan gets another play?
I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I think that's the problem everybody has with it. That being said, is it letter of the law? I mean, it looked, they made a damn good case that it was accurate, right? But I don't know. Money talks, you know, and I don't know. I don't know. I don't like it. That's the thing about replay is, you know, it's fine in certain cases, but, you know, it's something like that, the human element a little bit, you know. We've gone so far in the replay direction that sometimes you lose out on special events like that. Like, that's a moment for Western Michigan football right there. That is a moment you missed out on due to technology and all the advances it's made, and there's some good things to it, but stuff like that kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
It certainly does. Now, on the other part of it, you could have stopped them from catching the Hail Mary.
That too.
You could have. But they made it. And so, yeah, Michigan escapes with that one. But yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, that one was certainly the most replayed thing I saw on my Sunday was that play. A huge, I think, takeaway from a new week of college football, a new season of college football, is just when you look around how different you can be from 1 year to the next. Just the overall, it's like, okay, I recognize the jersey.
Right.
But like last night, okay, Florida State, are you
right?
Good? You were good when I was a kid.
Right.
Like, just like Charlie Ward's kid's not going to Florida State, right? It's just like overall the roster overhaul. It's hard to really, I guess, follow the programs,
It's different. It's completely so different than it once was. It's not, and I don't know who said it, but it's you're following a team, not a program, or you're building a team as a coach. You're building a team now for 1 year. You're not building a program anymore. And it's, you've lost something in college sports. It's minor pro, basically, is what this is.
It's minor pro, but without the ability to have a guy who's been here. Like, yeah, I was a pro in Tennessee last year. I was a pro in Ole Miss the year after that.
Right.
And now I'm getting a chance to start at Louisville. You know, like the guy from Louisville who was the backup at Ohio State who had a big game all over the weekend. It's just, it's so different. I guess it's entertaining because from 1 year to the next, you can be wholly different. Like, look at what happened to the Maine Black Bears this weekend against Appalachian State. They had not seen, they had 70 new kids on that Appalachian 70. State roster.
Yeah.
No idea what was going to be presented to them aside from maybe what the team overall had, like their basic
There's no film on this team. You have no film to watch.
Yeah, so you get beat pretty handily down there at Appalachian State. And so back to it this weekend with the home opener. And so, yeah, just watching college football, it is totally different than it was even, I guess, 5 years ago.
Completely.
Right?
It is. It really is. And it, like you said, it's an entertaining product. As the smoke clears, you start to, weeks go on, you start to kind of see where things are falling into place. But right now, I mean, it is like a crapshoot to try to figure out where this, where each team that you thought was going to be decent goes.
And so my overall view of this is, you talk about what you just hit on with the replay and the fact that the kid who plays cornerback or quarterback for whatever school, I'll use the Louisville example, played at Ohio State and now he's at Louisville for his final year. Like, I'm watching it, but do I like it? It's football. I love to watch football, but you're keep on making me sort of make concessions to the sport.
Sure.
Like, yeah, nobody goes here as a freshman and then aspires to play as a junior and then as a senior, they're great. You know, what you grew up watching, it's completely gone. And I still like to watch football. I watched SMU and Florida State last night happily.
Right.
You know, I mean, it didn't start till 9:15, you know, whatever, but I was sitting there waiting for it. But it's not what you grew up watching.
No.
It's just different.
And you lose out on the guy, like what you're talking about, the guy that's just kind of gritting it out, you know, is his sophomore year just to, you know, take the blows and pay his dues to move up and then become something. It's just, it's higher guns and guys jumping. Well, if this is tough for me here, I'll just go over here. If this is, I don't see myself as being an impact player this year, I'm not going to go there or I'm going to transfer. It's just, you lose out on a little bit of that, you know, work ethic, I guess. I don't know. It's got to be so difficult to coach. It really does.
Sure. And you talk about, when I think of Appalachian State, I think of the moment when they beat Michigan 20 years ago. That's
right.
Where my brain goes to Appalachian State. And because of these changes and these advancements where I watched the back and forth between the replay booth and the refs on the field for how what you said happened. As the guy goes out of bounds, he jumps up and he touches the ball with 1 second left. So technically, by the letter of the law, the play is over with.
Yeah.
But by the letter of the law, the play was not over with.
Right.
It's like, it's just, there have to be some sort of guardrails. Or, you know what I mean? It's just like, why don't we just have AI generate it and we can, like,
why are we playing?
Yeah, just plug me back into the Matrix.
right. Why are we playing the game? Why do we have human refs out there? You know, just computerize everything.
How much more can it change before you get turned off?
We like football so much. Though.
I do. We really do.
That's the thing. That's the thing. It's tough. They'll push it for quite a while. Yeah, I don't see that in the near future, that's for sure. We're gluttons. We love it. I can't wait.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that there wasn't a game on Wednesday night.
Right, exactly. Are you going to not watch next weekend because of what happened in the Michigan game?
No, I'm going to watch more.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to watch more. You don't care.
I don't.
No, no, we don't. It's a huge revenue generating sport, and we can't get enough of it.
It's CSI Miami. It's Shrek 2.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Spider-Man 9.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Just give me more.
Just give them more to me. Yeah.
When's the next episode?
Shovel it down. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Where else can we put CSI?
Episode 1 of college football was outstanding.
Yeah, put them in Lubec. Have them do some crossover with the Northwoods Law people. My goodness, there's a show and a half right there. Okay, we're going to do Dave Peck in a couple minutes here. We'll give you our Sox prop back with more right after this. But first, let's see Tuggy Co. Sports, Bangor's premier destination for sports cards and memorabilia. Tuggy Co. Sports, 691 Hogan Road in Bangor. Visit TuggyCoSports.com. Back with more next. Welcome back to the Morning Roast, brought to you in part by Hero Sports Grill and Entertainment Center. Hero is the official sports grill of the Roast, downtown Bangor, herosportsgrill.com. Now joining us, able to track him down, Sheriff Troy Morton, Penobscot County Sheriff. Troy, how are you?
Excellent, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm sorry for the delay. It's interesting we can talk around the world, but I sometimes can't talk on a cell phone 6 miles away.
That's the case.
Glad to have you. So for people that don't know, talk to us a little bit about what's happening this Friday night in Brewer.
How exciting. I really appreciate you guys covering this and the attention that's come together. As part of my role with the National Sheriff's Association, I was brought forward a momentum that's taken a place across the country with somewhere around 500 schools, high schools, during Friday Night Lights, September 11th football games at high schools. We will be having a special moment of silence, a Unite America moment, where at football games across the country, stadiums will come together remembering those who lost their lives on that tragic day on 9/11. And as you guys know, you live this, that nearly every town in Maine shuts down to go to a football game on a Friday night, and we have our cheerleaders and our bands and our ROTC programs and student athletes coming together as communities. I can't think of a better way to honor and respect those who lost their lives. And then at a time when it seems like our country is so divided, what a perfect way to perhaps bring us together like sports do, even for just a few hours, bring us back together in something that we all appreciate.
So it's Brewer and it's Hamden, and it's a 7 o'clock kickoff, but there's a ton of stuff going on beforehand. What should people know about attending and maybe some fun stuff that's going on and some ways to get in?
Yeah, I'm excited, and not that this doesn't happen, but the response from both communities, both at the city level, certainly at the school level, and the public safety folks are all coming together. There's going to be some free giveaways, some nice stuff that we're giving away. We're not making money. We're connecting with the community. So free tickets will be handed out to those for raffles. It's not free tickets to get in, but free tickets for stuff that will be drawn off at the halftime show. As you know, we've got former NFL star Mike DeVito and UMaine star Mike DeVito coming to give us a hand. There'll be a moment of silence before the game. Our officials are involved as well. We'll be doing a ceremonial coin toss. The Sheriff's Office Honor Guard and ROTC program will be posting colors, and a litany of other little things that will be taking place. But we're really looking forward to bringing the community together on this fun night at Doyle Field in Brewer.
And ultimately, it would be great to just have the stands packed, right? And have everybody go out there, and it's a night of unity. A football game will be played, but it's all about coming together, right?
That's it. I mean, we know that the schools draw a great crowd as it is, but what a perfect way. It looks like the weather's going to be nice. Bring our communities together. Fill Doyle Field, both sides of the stadiums. Hamden has been incredibly responsive. Some of their public safety folks are coming over as well. So we want to welcome in the city of Hamden and Brewer all to that event.
Troy, can you believe it's been 25 years?
I can't be. You know, I think it's one of those things we've all said this, right? The birth of our children and perhaps a wedding or whatnot. But those moments where you know where you were when you first started getting the news, I was working at the time and started receiving reports and, believe it or not, asking to divert towards our own airport. It is something that will never escape our minds, and we should never forget what took place that day.
And also to instill it upon the next generation, right? You're going to be games. that we played, these kids were, you know, 10 years into a post 9/11 era, and you have people entering the professional world that were not alive when this happened. I'm looking at one right now in the form of my producer, and it's just it's different but important to do things like this to make sure that nothing is forgotten.
You know, that's the hard part as I look at this, and I have a lot of young folks coming into our profession in public safety, and some of them don't remember this. Some weren't even born during that time. To make sure that we never forget what happened, the price that our country paid, those individuals sacrificing so much, their families and ongoing, we have to be diligent. We should never live in fear, but we have to be diligent and certainly bringing our country together. Brian, you probably remember, even though during tragedy, the amount of the country coming together, raising our flag, George Bush throwing out the first pitch, I think it was in Yankee Stadium, wasn't it? Even though it'd be tough to watch, but it was at Yankee Stadium. But they were coming together, and it was just, I think that's what sports can do sometimes. You know, sometimes even if it's for a few hours, even if it's not the national stuff that's taking place, it could be that small moment in your life where times are tough, and you go out and watch a local high school event or certainly our college event that can kind of shut things down for a little bit and let you enjoy the game.
That's what we're looking for this Friday night, and the game begins at 7, but the festivities begin in earnest at 5:30, so get there early, and even if you don't have, dog in the fight, Hamden or Brewer, go there and support. It'd be a great night under the Friday night lights, Troy. We appreciate you coming through and making some time for us, and we'll see you on Friday night. So thank you so much, and can't wait to see this all take place.
As I always say, go Sox, but this weekend it will be go New England and go Hamden Brewer.
There you go. All right, Sheriff Troy Morton, we'll see you on Friday night. Thank you for some time there, Troy.
Thank you, guys.
All right, awesome stuff. This Friday night in Brewer, Hamden, and Hamden Academy and the Brewer Witches will go head-to-head. Okay, quick commercial break coming your way. Going to talk with Dave Peck right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Morning Roast. Thanks to our Red Sox Ticket Summer Sweepstakes sponsor, Dunnett Appliance and Service in Bangor. It has come to an end. Derek from Bangor, Craig from Hamden, and tomorrow night, John from Orrington will be taking in games. Now joining us on the Heroes Hotline, Dave Peck. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. I got a cornerback now who's very rich and in the mix. Your thoughts on the deal, the reporting over the weekend, why it took so long? Give it all to me there, Dave.
Yeah, no, it was nice. I thought I was going to get the text from Jeff Hoke, our foreign producer, breaking the news. It was actually our friend Jack Webb, but it makes sense given his new role with the Patriots. So maybe he had some inside information we didn't know, but no, I mean, my first reaction was, finally, thank God. And then my second reaction is, so what was the holdup? Because you look at the money, and obviously we don't know a ton of details, but from what we know, it's slightly above what Witherspoon got. The guarantees are slightly, barely above what Witherspoon got. And so my first thought is, well, who won the negotiation? Like, we're a day away from kickoff. Robert Kraft and the Krafts were holding the line right up until the deadline where they had to get something done. And if the goal was to have this number be the number they agreed on, then why would it have not been done 3 days after the Witherspoon signing, right? If this was the goal and what they both sort of wanted, it was pretty obvious that this is the number that it should be. So it makes me think, well, did Christian Gonzalez sort of concede a little bit? Like, was he actually asking for a little bit more? Was he asking for more of a record-setting deal that holds water next year or the year after? And did he sort of concede to, yeah, you're the highest paid ever, so it's all with a grain of salt. But the Krafts held the line, and they sort of won the negotiation, and he got the market value of being the highest paid corner ever, but it's just slightly above where Witherspoon was. It's either that or the Krafts were just idiotic and thought somehow they weren't going to make him the highest paid corner ever, which I find hard to believe.
Why did we get the Schefter report that they weren't close? And then why does Matt Groh take a couple of bullets over the weekend and then it gets signed today? It's interesting, the stuff on the outside that ends with the deal finally being, realized.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing was weird. Like the beginning of it with Kraft going to the media at practice and then you have Strega Dave and all the Instagram videos that Christian Gonzalez is involved in with him and all the cryptic Instagram posts. The whole thing was odd. And it's even odder when I look at the contractor, again, what we know, and it's like, yeah, this is the deal, right? There, unless there are things that we can't see and are totally out of the ordinary, like, isn't this all what we expected? So I don't know why the Schefter report was out there. I don't know what the holdup was. I would like to think that most of Schefter's information, and I feel like in Patriots history, comes from Kraft or Belichick, but obviously he's not there. So maybe they were trying to leverage, we're not close. Maybe it's making Gonzalez look a little bit worse. I truly don't know the answer. But I think this was a concession on Gonzalez's end and not a bad one. But it shouldn't have taken this long to get to this contract, because this is what it always was supposed to be. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we were saying earlier, do you know when the last time they extended a first round pick was?
Gronk?
Dante Hightower, 2012.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, this is Gronk right before then. So yeah, I mean, yeah. Same era.
So I mean, it's just, this is not, you know, what the Patriots are used to having to do. It's just very different. And the ask to, I mean, the jump from with Witherspoon with a guaranteed first year for $59 million is a $9 million increase, I mean, over the previous one. So, I mean, I think it jumped so much that the Patriots, it just set them back, I think, a little bit. And I'm sure, they're just a nightmare to deal with, right? So they get that done. I'm just thrilled it's done, though, right? Now we can look forward to actually playing tomorrow night as opposed to having to deal with all this stuff. And you got to think Gonzalez is now, you know, he's 100% in, and you're not questioning the effort that you're going to get out of him.
Right, totally. If he doesn't play or if he's distracted by the contract, then you look at tomorrow and you say, well, even no matter what happens, well, was he all in it? Was this Patriots team ready to go? There are variables and sort of things that make you look at the result and say, well, but that wasn't really a true representation of what this team could be. Now you kind of have all your chips on the table, right? Now it's, for better or worse, however this game goes, it is what it is, and you have all your guys there. The other thing that I think about, and you guys sort of touched on a little bit, is the history of the Patriots, and you know, this is the first time since Hightower that they've signed somebody. It was always, at least the outward critique was always, it's a built thing, right? It's a Belichick stubbornness, doesn't want to pay his guys thing. And this example kind of negates that. It kind of shows that maybe this was a little bit more of the Kraft family shrewd business ship, and maybe less about Belichick being stingy with dollars and just not wanting to pay guys out of principle, and more of an ownership thing from the beginning. So I think Belichick's taken a lot of heat over the years for not really wanting to sign people, but this was a pretty easy situation for the Krafts to sign Gonzalez quickly, throw him a bunch of money as a homegrown guy, and sort of erase that narrative. Now the narrative's kind of on you when we all look at it and say, well, I guess it is an owner thing. I guess it wasn't really a Belichick thing. It kind of was Kraft all the time because they're continuing to operate that way.
So you go out and get a number one wide receiver. Gonzalez is in the mix. You sign Dobbs as well. What's your expectation for tomorrow night now that everybody is back? I mean, you're a little bit banged up with no Henderson, but you know, what's your expectation for tomorrow night?
It's really hard to say. I mean, somebody asked me that 2 days ago, and I said they're going to lose 31-17. And he goes, so they're going to get blown out. I said, yeah, I guess that's true. but I guess, yeah, thanks for putting it that way. But I think things change now. Morale of the team changes. Obviously, Gonzalez's presence, mentally or physically, changes now that he's signed and ready to go. So I would like to think it's a little bit more competitive. I don't know. Week one's funky, especially Wednesday night, but it is the Super Bowl champions. Obviously, there are a couple pieces missing from that team. I'm going to say Seahawks win 27-21. I still think the Seahawks win it, but I could be wrong. I really don't know. It's hard to say.
Week one, I mean, my God, the whole first month of the NFL is just preseason now, basically. Like, you don't really get your real team squared up for the first, like, 4 weeks. I mean, we've seen that for the past few years with the new preseason the way it is. It's just, it's garbage football.
Right. I mean, it's like, it's so hard to say. We haven't seen Drake May play since the Super Bowl. Like, I don't know. Like, we haven't seen him play with A.J. Brown. Ever really, outside of a couple practices where you see one good play and you're like, oh yeah, no, they're on the same page. It's like, I don't know how Romeo Doubs is going to fit into the equation. So after the first quarter, it'll give us a little bit more to chew on to actually make an educated sort of guess. But other than that, like, any prediction is like, well, it's just kind of, you know, pulling out of your rear end at this point. I heard you guys talking about college football and the landscape. I have no interest in watching college football. It's like, I see all the games on, I'm like, I don't know anyone. The turnover is crazy. It seems like there's a scandal with every team. No one knows what's happening. I didn't have a team to begin with. It's already a pro region. College football, not to do a hard right, but I have no place for it in my sports viewership. I would much rather watch an Angels Red Sox game.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, it is not what it once was, and there's no, you know, you don't know from one year to the next who it is that's on a team. It's all new, and yeah, so I think that you're maybe not alone in that opinion there, Dave. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy. Where's Take of the Town headed next?
We're going to be Thursday in Charlestown, and it's going to be a post-game, yeah, sort of a day after morning quarterback sort of show.
Good. Okay. Good luck. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys.
Dave Peck joining us on the Heroes Hotline. You can find Take of the Town on all the socials. Always great clips put up there from Dave and company. All right, we'll give you our Sox prop and our takeaways next. Don't go away. Welcome back. Every day I'm here, I'm going to pitch Roman Anthony over hits, runs, RBIs, 1.5. It's -125. We'll do it today against the Angels. It missed only one day last week, and it's the one day we didn't take it. So Roman Anthony will continue to be our table setter, and we will go with Roman Anthony as we had a perfect 4-0 week.
Crushed.
Last week. What are you leaving with today there, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad this thing got done, right? Like, thank God we can get on. Perfect timing. We can get all jacked up for tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Marcus?
Give me something other than the Miami Dolphins for, like, another month, please. Like, I hope we make it past round one of the playoffs and it doesn't get dragged out to three games against the Yankees where we've got, like, backwater pitching going. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to October.
Red Sox 5-0. Jaron Duran's got that new haircut, 5-0 in their last five. So we'll see if they can keep it going against the Angels. We didn't touch on this, but Burt Breer alluded to the fact that maybe between today and tomorrow, there's maybe something else. Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini ready to drop.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, listen, I work for Sports Illustrated, and there's an interest in the story that it gets clicks, and that's what matters these days is clicks.
Right.
And so I'll just be interested over the next day ahead of a spot where Vrabel's going to go talk to other people's media out there in Seattle. If something else pops up, we'll just see. I hope not, but I think you saw Phil Perry ask Mike Vrabel about it last week, and he didn't take too kindly to it. And we'll see if the story goes away like we all hope it does.
I think it will eventually. Week one, though, it's coming.
We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of the Morning Roast. Back tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a wonderful day.